Hello everyone, and welcome to this JIG call on the 4th of January. On the call today we have Rafiq Damaq, Edmund Chung, Avery Doria, Wei Zhao, Jian Zhang, and from staff we have Bart Bosnickel, Olaf Nordling, and Christina Nordstrom. And we have apologies from Thad Batainis.
Thank you, Christina. This is Edmund. And I sent around a pretty brief sort of agenda item for today, basically to take a look at the public comments, what we received so far, and consider some next steps. The second item was to consider the document that Avery sent along and what we need to do about it. And then the third item was to continue discussion on IDM variants based on the latest document that we had. I just mentioned earlier before we started the recording that we have just an administrative thing that we wanted to talk about, I guess, which is the working group wiki. We realize that currently it's behind a login. I was wondering, I'd like to add this as I think it will be a short discussion at the very beginning, if people are okay with it, and to sort of ask staff if that could be done, and also others in the group, whether you feel strongly one way or the other, whether it should be open or not. So, I don't know whether Bart or Christina can answer the question, whether...
This is Aubrey. Can I ask a question?
Oh, please.
It being behind... Oh, is that something you want to talk about now or put onto the schedule for later?
No, I think we can talk about it now.
Okay. It's behind a login for those who want to add stuff to it, but anybody can see it, or it's behind a login for anybody to even see?
I think it's the latter at this point. Wendy, is that the experience?
Hi.
I'm
totally fine with the login, but after login, the message being sent out is the user is not authorized. So matter is the report is authorized or open to anybody after people log in will be fine, I think.
No, well, right now it's not even viewable if you're not logged in, right?
No, it's not if you're not logged in.
Right.
Even I log in, I still can't view the document because I'm not authorized.
Okay, well,
So going back to Avery's question, Avery, I think it's if you're not a member of this working group, because Wendy was added later on, so that needs to be included. If you're not a member of the working group, you can't see what's on the wiki.
This is Avery again. That doesn't seem right to me. I totally agree that we need to log in to change stuff, although anybody... Well, actually, is this the new congruence, or is it...
No, it's not confluence yet.
It's not the... Okay. So then on the old, you know, sometimes you have this intermediate state that allows anyone to send mail to it, and of course you have to call the mail. But certainly for editing things on the wiki, it makes sense to log in. But I don't think this group is doing anything secret that we need to have a wiki that's not world viewable.
Right. So I guess, what do other people think? I agree with Avery. I think it's probably best to keep the wiki the viewable, you know, at least viewable publicly. And for edits, we can, you know, require login and authorization. That's a reasonable approach. I wonder if anyone have any problems with it.
I'm okay with it. I agree with you.
So, thank you, Jane. Bart or Christina, how do we?
Let us figure it out, and we'll get back to you. And if it's very easy, we'll open it up so it's viewable for the external world.
On a previous wiki, it's one button.
Sorry, Avery?
I'm saying on the ST, the social time or whatever it's called, wiki, it's trivially easy to change it.
Yeah. And even if it's difficult to change, it may take some more time, but in principle it should be viewable for the outside world.
It's just one button and just one setup button.
Okay. Cool. I think we have an accord there. So I guess Bart, you will help us make it popping in. Just let us know on the list, say that it's been opened.
And when it's completed. So it's an action item for Christine and me.
Okay, cool. Thanks. All right. So back to the original agenda. The first one is to take a look at the public comments for the single character ID and TLD and then consider some next steps. Looking at the comments, I think we only received one. I was expecting maybe two or three more. I was wondering if you received any your requests for late submissions.
No, I haven't. The only exception was the ALEC statement, but that was submitted in time, and for the rest I didn't receive any.
Okay. Because I actually saw a few around. I wonder what happened to them. I guess my question on in terms of process is whether we could, how we could incorporate them. I'd like to follow up with them and try to incorporate them, but I was wondering how we should go about this. Should I just follow up and include Bart yourself in the loop and get a sense of whether they're ready, to submit and why there was a bit of silence. Or
the question was, the first question is whether you still have the time to include them. Say
right.
Say we had the date until the 30th of December because especially I think you as a chair wanted to have something to the GNSO Council in 2 or 3 week time.
Right.
Now, we can formally extend it, and I think that will be knowing that some more comments say we can formally extend it, say, for another week, knowing there are just one or two, and I think that's the taking the high ground without pursuing individuals, and then you can pre-warn them, say, we're going to extend it.
Okay.
Because if it's only two or three comments and it's more support, and so you don't need to redo the whole document itself. Yeah, why not? It provides more support or more criticism. Doesn't matter. But we need to work our way through to get it to the council when you wanted to submit it.
Okay. I think. I'll try and make a suggestion here to say that I think it's probably good to extend it to for a week, maybe to January 11th, so a week from now. And I'll proactively, myself and Jane would proactively reach out to the few that had actually submitted comments previously and had indicated, in fact, I've seen drafts around, so I'm pretty sure that there were interest to submit comments. So, but at the same time, I think time-wise, we can. There seems to be interesting suggestion from the one comment received from ALAC, which I'd like to consider today, and then we could try to consider the other comments by our next meeting and have something, have something drafted and in response to them by the end of the month so that we can provide some input into GNSO as soon as possible as we sort of finalize the as staff actually finalizes the new GTLD process. Does anyone have any problems or questions about extending it for a week for myself and Jane as the chairs to sort of proactively reach out to the few parties that have indicated interest to submit comments? Hearing none, I guess. I wonder, Bart, if you can.
I will send a note and make it.
Yeah, once you make that, and then I'll use that note to reach out to the few constituencies that have seen some activity on this.
Yeah. So it's I would say it depends on when it will be posted. Hopefully today, if not tomorrow, but a week from posting. So if it's the 5th, then we extend it to the 12th. If it's today, we extend it to the 11th.
Yeah, that's fine with me. I think, I think once you send it out, I'll use that to. Okay. I guess I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about the substance of the comment from. From ALAC, actually, but I wanted to ask if did Olaf join the call?
Hey, I'm here.
Yep. Hi, Olaf. I think last time we asked a question about the chances of this being in the new GTLD process and. Know what might be the situation. I wonder if there's any.
Oh well, as promised, I forwarded that question to Kurt and to Tina, and I haven't received any response on it. And whether that's an easy answer to give is, of course, I think it's an easy question to raise, a very difficult question to. I had a look at the content myself, and for one, I mean, one advice that I saw is to have a checking during initial evaluation of risks for type of squatting, and that's I would say that's implementable. If you say it's implementable, of course, one could try to do it, but it's wholly at odds with the structure of the application process as it's now. It's not at all incorporated, and it would be very difficult to incorporate for the first round. So, just to give you a little bit of sample of what kind of response you can get, I mean... it would call for detailed analysis of each of the parts, I would say. But this was just one example where I know that I would be in the receiving end of that kind of suggestion. And my advice on that would be not for the first round.
Okay. So on that particular response, you're talking specifically about the string evaluation where it goes through an algorithm and it gets checked for visual similarity. Is that the
visual similarity is that's exactly it, what's happening in the initial evaluation. So
right.
And where sort of key squatting protection is not at all included in that.
Right. Right. And part of the suggestion right now is to take that into consideration, and that seems to be an at least one potential area that could immediately raise a flag and we might need to take this sort of.
I mean, I would say that knowing that the question would come to me on that particular matter, I could say that, well, that's not anything that you could graft onto the process as it's conceived right now.
Okay. I understand that, and in fact, in response to that, and that's the reason why I wanted this to lead into our discussion and the suggestion or the comment from ALAC, which seems to provide a suggestion that might help. In our discussion, we identified issues, especially with alphabetic script, single character ID and TLDs, where especially because it's a single keystroke, and the possibility of a sort of a false positive, if you will, because of a intended or unintended typo situation. That is continues to be an issue raised by the especially technical community for alphabetic scripts. For non-alphabetic scripts, I'd like to highlight that's not an issue. What the not sure if everyone looked at the ALAC statement, but what the ALAC statement suggests is that a IDN evaluation panel be put together, and conceptually that would fall into extended evaluation. IDN evaluation panel would be called upon at an extended evaluation, and I think what is interesting to me to see is that this seems to be a pretty good suggestion. And that perhaps this could be used to address the issue where for alphabetic single character IDN TLD that it be pushed into an extended evaluation, and the IDN evaluation panel could be utilized for such evaluations. And the suggestion actually also covers the CCTLD side, where this type of consideration could be potentially taken into consideration. So I wonder what others think, in terms of, I guess, two things. One is... the concept of proposing an IDN evaluation panel, and whether this could help us solve the issue.
Olaf here again. First of all, what I mentioned before was the proximity of the keyboard kind of type of squatting. Which is, and this is largely different from it. Here you have, well, if, let me ask you the question back. I mean, if there would be, by the the panel, because there is a panel, string similarity panel, is there to identify string similarities, visual similarities, and to make adjudication of such during initial evaluation. If there is a finding that there is a striking similarity, confusing similarity between, well, two strings alphabetically, for example, are you proposing then that there would be another panel that would enter into some kind of review of that during an extended evaluation?
A good point, Olaf. No, I don't think that's what I'm suggesting. I do see the context of the suggestion in the ALAC statement. I guess the answer to your question is no. I think for the GTLD process, I understand that, you know, if it's considered visually similar, then it's out. The discussion of whether that should, you know, go somewhere else, I think it's not within what we're discussing here. So no, that's why I sort of suggest it as an extended evaluation. If it does, the question here that we're considering is that if it does pass through the visual similarity, we might still want to consider whether, you know, a keyboard layout issue that was the crux of the response from the technical community could be addressed by the IDN evaluation panel. I'm not sure whether I'm making sense for most people, but I think, Olaf, you understand what I'm saying. So no, I'm not trying to suggest that particular discussion about string similarity and then further evaluation, if it's found to be similar, to take place. But the reverse, if it's not found to be similar, then still, if it's an alphabetic single character IDN TLD, it should still need a further evaluation on whether other types of confusion could take place.
Yeah, for example, I mean, there is always the check whether it would be visually similar to any two-letter ASCII combination.
Right.
Which is a non-starter.
Yeah, and I don't think we're trying to solve that. I understand that the ALAC statement tries to suggest a resolution for the for the Bulgarian situation. I don't think that's what we're talking about right now. What I'm talking about in this group is in the case where if it passes through, you know, with, you know, if it's okay with the string similarity, so there is no string, visual similarity. For alphabetic single character IDN TLDs, we should still pass it through an extended evaluation process, so that the issue of the keyboard layout, which was brought up, could be dealt with there. Does that make sense?
This is John. I joined in a bit late. I'm kind of concerned that this group is discussing yet another evaluation panel with regard to this issue. I'm wondering if there isn't any way of incorporating this issue with the string evaluation panel that was incorporated in the new GTLD process, or are you kind of accepting the idea that IDNs need to be treated differently, especially single character IDNs?
I think that's a good question, you know, Kim. Just to give you a context, I don't know when you joined, but this discussion was sparked by the comment from ALAC that we received in the
right. I am looking at that document.
But I think I'm, what I you mean, suggest, please go ahead.
Go ahead.
Please go ahead first.
I am looking at this document, but I mean, I'm just wondering that this is. I'm thinking this is one comment. This is not a mm-hmm. comment that we should that. I mean, I'm just wondering how much weight we need to give this. Give to this suggestion or whatever. I don't know. I mean, if this is a statement, a joint statement by the general community, not just the ALF, but with the ITF and all the other groups, then maybe we should give it much more weight. But this is from one of the constituencies, and I'm wondering how heavily we should weigh this in.
This is Avery.
Avery, you. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I think that it being from one of the advisory committees, I think it's something that we have to give serious regard. That doesn't mean we have to do what they say or that, but it's not just like a single person's comment. It's a whole advisory committee's comment. So I think we have to treat it with a certain amount of weight there. I agree with you in that. You know, I hate seeing yet another, review panel, and especially since, you know, we've seen that review panels have this cloak of secrecy about them that is making mm-hmm. them inaccessible to people, so that makes it especially horrible that we would add another review panel. So I don't know that we need to necessarily follow the solution, but certainly the problem that's brought
yes.
out, we have to figure out a way to solve. Or at least...
Yes, I completely agree with Avery. I'm not suggesting that this is just one person or one small group's comment. I know that the ALAC has a lot of weight, and this is a joint statement. I mean, this is a statement that was agreed on and voted on. So I know that, we should give it some consideration, but I'm getting the sense, feeling that we're maybe a bit too willing to just completely accept. Am I making myself clear?
I'm very clear about that. I guess you know we're bringing this up for discussion. I think your suggestion of looking at the screening evaluation panel is interesting too. I guess if Olaf maybe answer this is whether you know Olaf, you mentioned that the string evaluation panel currently quote unquote chartered, it's looking at the visible similarity in the initial review. Is there possibility of tasking it for evaluation of what we mentioned in an extended evaluation process, such that it's easier to be integrated into the new GTLD process. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts would be what you can imagine is rather to perhaps tweak the script for the string similarity panel in some way. For the initial evaluation, I see the scope for extended evaluation only takes place if the applicant so requests. And who would request what in that case? I can see it if you have sort of an If you're stopped for a reason, we can't pass through with that particular string for that and that reason because of, visual similarity with, for example, a two-letter ASCII or something like that. But I have difficulty in seeing how the extended evaluation would come about in the case that you describe. It sounds more like that would be an objection process, a string similarity objection, which is
that's
a broader case.
That's a very good point. I thought of it the other way around. That's you pointed out a very good point. I guess in that case, I guess I'd like to ask the group whether perhaps the other way to go about this is that if we force, because I think the idea is that we want to force all alphabetic script single character IDN PLD applications to go through a further check. At least that's the consistent comment from the technical community that I've gotten. And if that is the case, then our suggestion would be to ask the initial evaluation to quote-unquote fail anything that is an alphabetic in an alphabetic script for single character ID and TLD, and request it. And thereupon, the applicant would need to request for an extended evaluation. Would that make more sense, Olaf or others?
Edmund, this is Bart. I'm looking at the suggestion, and this is. Let me first. If you look at the suggestion, I think based on the interpretation and discussion right now, we take it a long way from the IDN evaluation panel suggestion from ALAC. That's one. Whether, say, the issue itself needs to be addressed and how it needs to be addressed is something for further discussion, in my view, by the working group. But, say, the solution by ALAC of introducing another IDN evaluation panel to take care of it for the new GTLD process is probably a bridge too far. So that's one. So if you look at the suggestion of ALAC regarding the IDN CCTLDs, first of all, I note two things. First of all, it's a bit out of scope because it also deals with two-character IDNs, but that's a very formal response. The second bit of it, especially, say, referring to, for instance, the Bulgarian, it is already taken care of precisely for this type of confusion in the technical evaluation committee or STEP. So that's the outside panel. So again, this is adding a layer on top of already existing evaluation.
Okay.
So maybe
does somebody want to? Sorry.
Maybe what is a suggestion is that we need to do it anyway if we're going to extend the common period is that Olaf and I prepare, say, a staff interpretation of this and send it around to the group for further discussion. Because I don't, unless you disagree with my with my observation, that we're moving away from their interpretation or from their suggestion.
Bart, I guess I agree, and I was trying to attack it and for two issues. The first one was our earlier question to Olaf in our last meeting about what's staff's response and on the suggestion, and I admit that I have confused in a way or try to integrate it into the ALAC suggestion here, but. So yes, I think Bart, what you suggest seems to makes sense. But somebody wanted to speak.
Yeah, this is Aubrey.
Please go ahead.
I think that, as I say, I think we're bound, and of course we are taking it seriously now, so that's not a problem. I don't know that we need to respond to this very quickly, and I think it's a total reasonable response to say, yes, there's an issue there, but, you know, the working group did not agree with the proposal, but, you know, suggested solving it this way. The second issue that got confounded in it is, you know, the review of the contentious decisions by technical committees and so on, which, of course, wasn't one of the things that was being asked comment for, as far as I know, in this particular document. And it was just something that, you know, because that is a sort of critical sore issue at the moment, you know, got worse today. But, you know, so that one is basically out of scope for this group, as much as I agree with you, Edmund, that there not being an appeals mechanism to pronouncements from on high about something not being acceptable or not, it is a problem. It's not a problem that we need to deal with at this point because it's out of scope for this particular response. Whereas the first part of their issue in terms of how do these things get dealt with and is there actually a problem here that is not being dealt with, which I'm not quite sure I understand yet. And I guess it's me being dumb early in the morning, but I'm not sure what exactly the problem that's being solved is in the first part. In other words, because no one's saying that the single character IDN is prohibited, you know, therefore. So I'm confused about what they see as a problem. But the last sentence of the problem statement does seem out of scope, as much as I agree with their sentiment that something bad is going on that needs to be fixed.
Thank you, Aubrey. Just to, I guess, come back, I first of all apologize for making these convoluted discussions. Just to give just take a step back. The discussion started when I was asking Olaf whether this group's suggestion in our final report seems to be implementable, and Olaf pointed out one point, which is that in our recommendations we're asking. At this point, we're asking for the initial evaluation, the string evaluation panel, to take into consideration keyboard layout typos, related typos, for single character IDN TLDs that are in a alphabetic script. That was one thing that Olaf singled out in saying that this might present an issue for it being integrated into the existing, you know, concept of the initial evaluation, which only takes into consideration visual similarity. So that was the
isn't keyboard layout. This is Aubrey again.
Yeah.
Is that sort of a form? First of all, I got two more questions again. Being dumb again. One is, isn't that a form of visual? Keyboard layout is I'm looking at it, or I guess it's I'm not looking at it and I type wrong, but is it when you're talking keyboard? It's certainly not oral. It's a visual representation between the simple symbol and what I see on a keyboard. So that I'm not sure why that would necessarily be excluded, though perhaps it expands the expertise required in that panel. You know, understanding of layouts. But the other thing is, isn't there when all strings are announced, at least on G side, and I suppose, I mean, okay, that doesn't happen on C side at the moment in the fast track, but when strings are proposed, people look at them, and someone can raise the flag for the visual evaluation committee
and I know I used the wrong name, but I'm having trouble with the right name at the moment, to sort of say, hey, folks, there's a keyboard issue here that you should pay attention to. So that comment does happen before the initial evaluation or not, I forget. If whether there's a comment period where all strings have been, you know, published in the G's and everybody can look at them and raise flags. But also, I don't see why that isn't a visual issue.
That's an interesting observation. I guess at least for the first part, for the later part that you mentioned, I do believe that there's once the strings are the applications come in, it's you know, the strings are being published before the initial evaluation takes place, and certainly the comments could alert the issue to the panel. That seems to be, you know, maybe one of the ways to address the issue or to explain what we mean by that we have taken this into consideration and this is how we see it happen. And I guess the earlier question was whether this could be considered visual similarity.
I don't touch type. Well, I sort of touch type, but I look at the keyboard.
I
generally agree with what Avery said, but I think we should go back to what Bart has suggested and discuss whether it would be necessary for us to, how seriously we should consider this, and so we should have Bart or someone else come up with an outline or of the issues, and then how we deal with it, I think, is the next step. And I think we're just jumping into the next step before the first one.
I think that's a good observation. So I guess perhaps really the next step on this is, we are extending the comment period, and Bart, your suggestion that staff provide some input along those lines, I think, would be a good one. Once we have that clarified, then I guess the group can use that as a basis of considering the solutions. I guess I apologize for jumping the gun in a way and trying to jump on possible solutions, but I think I still think it's a constructive discussion that we just had. I think we have a explored a few possibilities. Bart, does that Bart and I guess Bart and Olaf, does that make sense? I guess we'd like to get Bart, you suggested the I'm not sure whether you were suggesting that some comments come from the staff, but at least some sort of summary from the staff describing the issue.
I was just focusing on, say, the at-large comment itself and what is suggested there, and say what you say. I think we need to be careful, because then you run into implementation. Maybe that's an implementation question, whether the suggestions and the recommendations in the draft final report should be checked on implementation, because that's another exercise. And this goes back to the question you raised, or Olaf raised, with Kurt and Tina.
Okay.
So I think we're talking about two separate things. Say the first one is evaluating the comments from ALEC and the other statements, as we always do with public comments received, and send that to the working group and see whether you agree with the analysis of the comments and the implementation or possible changes to the final report. So that's one. So that's one type of evaluation review of the comments. A second one is, and that's linked in the discussion as well, is on the implementation or the possibilities of implementation of some of the recommendations and the impact.
Right.
For instance, the one on, say, in the draft final report, the working group noted the possible confusion with single keystrokes, and now is the question whether a single keystroke is that a separate type of confusion, or is it something, as Avery said, visual confusion? That's another type of analysis, I would say.
Okay.
You agree or disagree?
I both agree. No. Actually, it's they're two different pieces, really.
Yeah.
And I could say tell Avery right away that the kind of visual confusion of that people confuse when it's proximity on the keyboard. For example, having happened to strike an S instead of a D or on a QWERTY keyboard just because they're close to each other, that kind of check would not be considered visual confusability. Just to make that abundantly clear, it's not covered at all for the time being. And besides, it's not an... it's a much more generic aspect than IDN. I mean, this is a generic question, really.
Cosmonator.
Okay. Olaf, I guess, I wonder if you can maybe put in a short note to this list about, you know, highlighting the item that you brought up earlier. So we can, you know, take it on and consider it.
Sure. Yes.
That's great.
And I'll do the staff comments on the paper as I did before. It's just as easy.
Okay. So I guess that is as far as we probably can go for the single character item. We'll extend the public comment period. We'll reach out to the few groups that I've seen some draft comments on and see if they ran out of time and are still interested in putting in comments. And I guess when we, you know, before we reconvene, we should get a better a more complete a set of comments, and there would be about a week from when we close the comments finally. I wonder if that is enough time, Bart, for you to draft a sort of I guess summary from staff.
Depends on the volume of comments you anticipate.
I'd anticipate about two and at most.
Yeah, but even if it's one, but it's a 20-page document.
Sure, I understand. It doesn't look like so. It's probably like a one or two.
Let's aim for it. Say this one is reasonably straightforward. If they're like this, if it doesn't work, I'll let you know.
Okay. So I guess the hope or the target is to try to have that by our next meeting so that we can consider it and see how we move forward. But regardless, we should have a set of comments by our next meeting 2 weeks from now, and we can enter into, you know, sort of finalizing our discussion here. And at the same time, Olaf will have a, you know, we'll all be able to take a look at the note from Olaf and consider what adjustments we might want to make in the final report. All right. We're running a little bit short in time, but I still would like to, raise the issue, the two issues that I wanted to talk about today. I guess we ran out of time in considering the IDN variants today, but I point people to the draft that we had. so far, and we'll pick it up. I'd like to suggest that because we have the next week open, I'll start to put in some thoughts and try to start a discussion on the mailing list on the IDM variants and how I see it sort of moving forward and try to take it there. Now for the IETF document, which is the what Avery brought up, I took a look at it. I apologize, I haven't responded on the list, but I took a look at it. It seems like actually, Avery, you mentioned it in your note as well, something that points to further discussion in Beijing IETF. The Beijing IETF happened, so I wonder if there's any update there that Avery can...
Yeah, I actually had a talk with, actually exchanged email with Suzanne, and we're going to talk. As you know, I wasn't in Beijing, and so I'm going to talk. Now, she said that she's going to ask to be added to this list and start participating more or less actively, so I think that's probably a good thing for that bit of liaison. And, of course, if she does that, my role as a carrier of information back and forth when we actually have the author of the document hanging in the group with us probably, you know, becomes less critical. But I haven't had a chance to go further. I don't know. Were you in Beijing? I think you were.
I actually don't think it was eventually discussed with them.
Okay, and it may have been.
A small group sort of split off and started discussing it, but
yeah.
I didn't join that small breakoff group.
That happens so often. So I do plan to talk to Suzanne. We're trying to find a time this week to chat, and then I'll write that up and get it back. But as I say, you know, once she gets more involved with the group, that may also be a big help. But basically, at this point, she has not. One of the things I said is that, you know, there's a possibility that the document had been updated. It hasn't been updated. The one that I posted there is the latest.
Okay, so I guess it's great news that Suzanne is willing to participate here. I think, you know, I guess not only on the experience issue as we finalize the other one, she'd be an asset to the discussion. So I wonder if it's okay that I guess myself and Jane actually invites her to join and get that process started, unless staff has already received a request.
We haven't received a request yet. No.
Okay, so I guess Avery, I'll proactively reach out and. Okay. We're pretty much at the top of the hour. I'd actually like to get started on the IDM variants topic, I guess I'll have to defer that to the mailing list. So as I mentioned, we were at 03. We had a briefing from Tina in our Cartagena meeting about what the approach staff is looking at in terms of the work plan. Last meeting we discussed approaching it in a pure sort of policy or policy implementation side of things. Such that not on the language policy, but on the policy for implementing IDM variants as an ICANN role, and because the staff work plan will be focused on the language policies and split into five study teams. So I guess we'll continue on that point. But I wonder, seeing Tina note that she's leaving ICANN. I was wondering if Bart or Olaf have any indication on where we now head. Who would be the right person to ask in terms of what we were briefed on, and that staff would put out a proposal for the five studies to be done. How do we follow up with that, and where do we go now with Tina leaving? I don't know whether Olaf or Bart has idea on that.
Olaf here, and it's too early to tell. I mean, the executive team in Marina del Rey is trying to sort that out, who will take on what. So I don't, at least I don't know. Okay, as soon as we get wind of how sort of succession will be handled, we'll notify you.
Yeah, that'll be very useful. I think if you could just notify the, you know, just send a note to the mailing list, so you know we know how to follow up. And it would be great whoever it is to perhaps join the discussion here, because I guess we'll be asking for more questions as we go forward anyway.
Okay.
So just before we close, actually, there's one more item. Just want to let everybody know. In our Cartagena meeting, face to face meeting, a few of the board members joined. I mentioned it last time as well, and they're quite interested in continuing looking into the discussions that we're having, especially as they consider this a very important topic on IDN variants. And I think one of the things that we've talked about then, and also I've since followed up on it, and what we will likely try to do is to have sort of a session in our next face-to-face meetings, or you know, in next few face-to-face meetings, however long it will take to complete the work. So that we can consider we can share notes, I guess, with the board on the issue of IDN variants. So that's just an update for everyone. And with that, we're over the top of the hour, and I wonder if there's anything people want to add. Jane.
Actually, I'm just wondering what's our next step for variance issue from our side.
From our side, as mentioned last time, I think it seems like the staff, at least from what we hear from Stina, staff is focusing the effort for the work plan on the five language groups and the language policies that should be taken into consideration. A large part of our document that was drafted in September and October last year has to deal with the process for which it's something after the language policy is done. There are some parts of it which includes the language policy, and so in our last meeting we talked about looking into the document we have now, taking out the parts where it's specific to language policies, and still keep the actual framework for handling situations where variants need to be considered in a sort of meta policy, if you will. You know how ICANN would deal with this, and that we can continue on, because as the studies for the language specific policies are done, we can. I think this group can contribute in the actual policy process. Not policy process. The process part of the policy. You know how ICANN would deal with it. So I think if we focus on that, we can refine the document and put out something that's that the community can consider. So that's sort of the next step that I see. And if we run out of time, I take some of the things that I wanted to go over on the mailing list, and we can discuss there and pick this this item up in our next meeting.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Chris.
So, with that, I guess we'll wrap this session. Thank you, everyone, for joining, and Happy New Year, everyone.